If you don't know me, my name is Dave, and I've been a pastor for many years, and 23 years ago, the Lord led us to start a ministry that is headquartered in Bolivar, New York, called Heritage of Flame, and Believer's Chapel actually is tied up with us as far as missions goes. We have the opportunity to be in many countries now, on the African continent, on the Asian continent, and we're also up in Alaska as well. And we've been able to see hundreds of churches planted over the last two decades, even into that thousand range now, thousands of people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we just appreciate the part that Believer's Chapel has in helping us, especially over these last 4 years. Last week, Pastor Sean started a new series called the Warrior Series. And he specifically started out with the baptized warrior. And we praise God for the 38 people that went into that river and were baptized. They publicly identified with Jesus Christ. They recognized that they, in their old nature, was on that cross with Christ. They are crucified with Christ. And as they came up out of the water, they recognized the new life that they have in Him. And they were unashamed that day to do this in front of anyone that was there witnessing the event. That's the baptized believer, recognizing the importance of identifying publicly with Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be looking at the persecuted warrior. Now the Bible is clear that anyone who is following Jesus Christ will come up against persecution. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to two passages today. Acts chapter 6, going into the first part of Acts chapter 7, and then we're going to go to the end of Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 51, into Acts chapter 8, verse 3. I want to read both of those passages right now as we start out this morning. Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist his wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. And then the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brethren and fathers, listen." Now I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 51. He has now presented his defense, and being in the Spirit, he turns toward them and lets them know what is in their heart. In verse 51, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution rose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every home and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to recognize your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us an opportunity to just see where we are in our relationship with you. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace. Lord, we've sung about your love this morning. Lord, we've sung about the redemption and the salvation and the freedom that we have in you. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I recognize and I acknowledge I stand here today by your grace and your grace alone. Lord, I thank you that you remind us that everything that we do must be in you if we want it to last. Lord, I pray that you would guide every word. Spirit of God, work in each individual heart, work in mine. God, I ask that you would be with us as individuals today. May we respond. May we be courageous in our response. God, I pray for this church, this local body that is gathered here this morning. May we as a church understand what we must do to really, truly, honestly say that we are warriors even in the midst of persecution. Lord, help us. God, give us your understanding and wisdom today. Thank you so much for everyone that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at the definition of persecuted, persecution, or persecute. A few words that we could use as synonyms: to oppress, to harass. A lot of believers understand what it is to be harassed in school, at the workplace, even in home life. Torture, to pursue with intent to injure, a physical, mental, or emotional abuse, to get picked on relentlessly. We could also add to be imprisoned. And of course, the extreme is to be martyred. The Bible has a lot to say about persecution. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We want to go to a few verses here. Psalm 31, verse 15. David said, "My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me." In Psalm 119, he says, "Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word." This is what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and all the people that were listening that day. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." In John's gospel, he lets them remember clearly that they are going to get persecuted just as he has been. John 15, verse 20, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And then Paul writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's going to happen. Now listen, if we are truly following Jesus Christ, if we are living with that desire, that heart passion to live godly, which is obviously living for Him, then we can expect somewhere along the way, along our journey, we are going to be persecuted in some way. Now, I'm sure that you are much like me. I'm much like you. We want to be liked. We want people to see that we are living our lives with integrity, with honesty. We're applying biblical principles, and we want those things to shine so that people will give glory to our Father, just as the Scripture says. And for the most part, that can happen. That can be our experience. But there is the spirit of Antichrist that exists in our world, and especially even today in our generation. And there are always going to be those, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, who will come at us, who will oppose us, who will resist us, not because of who we are necessarily, but because of who He is inside of us. They are persecuting because they do not want the light. They'd rather have the darkness. And so they will oppose. Stephen was going, obviously, through this at this point in time. We don't know a lot about him in his early life, but we need to recognize clearly that the people in the early church recognized him as one of seven that certainly was living in a godly way. He was walking a life of obedience to the Word of God. Stephen shows us what happens when a person lives a godly life. He helps us to understand that when we are living that life, that we will have persecution, but we'll also have the power and the presence of Jesus Christ Himself, which makes all things well. Because Stephen teaches us in the extreme form of persecution, even before he shut his eyes and died that day, he was still looking to his Savior, and even in that place was acting like his Savior did on the cross of Calvary. Remember, it was Jesus that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here's Stephen, as he continues to be in that godly position, focusing on Jesus Christ, he says, Lord, do not lay charge against them for the sin. It's an amazing thing. Even the religious leaders of that day, who were not in any way acknowledging Jesus Christ, saw him as they brought him before this council, and they saw his face as of an angel. How can that be? Because he had such a relationship with his Savior. And even those men that were ready to accuse him falsely could not in any way resist the fact that God was in his life. Today we're going to be looking at Stephen's example. And I want to encourage you to understand that these characteristics aren't just something that can be in a life of a man like Stephen, but these characteristics need to be looked at and applied to our own life. We need to be godly in this generation. We need to do the same thing that Stephen did in his generation and recognize that God will work in and through us and recognize that persecution will come, but understand that the majority of us in experiencing persecution will not be persecuted unto death. A few will be. Some will be brought to that place, and God will give them the privilege of suffering for Him in death. Majority will not experience it, but will experience persecution. We want to look at Stephen today and see the godliness that he had. As we're looking at this, see if this is the description of your life as I evaluate my own position with Christ. First of all, we want to see Stephen as the persecuted warrior and consider who he was. Secondly, we're going to be considering what he did. And then thirdly, we're going to consider the effect of his testimony. Let's go back to number one. Let's consider who he was. First of all, he was a man, as we see in Acts chapter 6 and we see in Acts chapter 7, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you are full of faith and you are full of the Holy Spirit, you are going to be a godly person. Being full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit go hand in hand. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you will be full of faith. If you're full of faith, you will be full of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at each one, though, separately. Full of faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith. It's recognizing that God's Word is true. And you believe it. Jesus was telling His disciples, in order for them to have a deep faith, they had to go back in time as though they were children. Have you ever noticed kids? You know, you tell them a Bible story. Man, they just believe it. And they're ready to apply it. They're ready to live it. Man, when you have teenagers who go away to a Christian camp, or teenagers that are in like a breakaway program here, and they are told what God has been doing in the lives of people for centuries. Man, the Spirit of God is just working, and they're not trying to think about all of the logical ins and outs of what has just been said. They're saying, well, man, this is cool. This is Jesus in action. It's what I want in my life. That's why we need to be praying for our youth. I believe in the young people of our nation, and I believe as the Holy Spirit of God brings them into that realm of faith, they will be moving mountains. That's just the way it is, because they believe. I've been to a lot of places in my life on the mission field, and a lot of the places that I go are where there is a lot of persecution. One of the places that I travel to that has been known for having some hard persecution is Africa. One of those countries is Ghana. I went to Ghana several years ago for the first time with my brother Brad, and we just had a great time as we became acquainted and then developed a relationship with a man called John Adjaye. You've been helping us support his work, and we just praise God for all of the churches that have been planted. In fact, I just got a text from him after the first service, and it said, praise God, we had 5 people accept Jesus Christ today as their personal Savior, and they went out from the church, and they were baptized. So it happened today. I just praise God for that. Well, my son-in-law, Bob, really felt a need to go with me. He just felt that stirring in his heart. And so we started talking about it, and he said, yeah, you know, if we can work it out, I want to go. So he was in his home, and it was really getting crunch time where we needed the funds in, and we needed to really get this thing lined up. And he was sitting at the table, and he was just kind of saying, you know what, I'm looking at everything. I'm trying to work this out logically. I'm looking at the budget. I'm going through all of this. And he's telling his wife, my daughter Heidi, I don't know how I can do this. This is going to be too hard. I mean, I really want to go. I believe God has called me to go, but I just don't understand how it can happen. Well, my granddaughter Reagan, who was about maybe 8 or 9 at that time, was in the other room. She was hearing this. She comes out. Very calmly, just puts her hands on his legs, from the way I was told, and she just looked at him and said, do you believe God? Yeah. Do you believe God's word? Yeah. Then what's the problem? And then she walked out. And you know what? The faith of a child is so powerful. And you know what Bob did? He said, that's the faith that I'm going to go by. And God provided. And he went to Ghana. Now, the story isn't all the way through yet, because Bob works for a company that has a foundation that supports Christian ministries. And just in the past year, he's began to talk to them about his experience in Ghana. And they said, you know what, Bob, that's what we're looking for, employees that have done mission trips, because we're all about family and all about credibility and accountability. And you know what? Have your father-in-law send us some projects. So right now, in the next month or two, they're looking at major projects that we have in Africa. And I look at that and I say, it's because a child who just simply believed was present, and then a man who said, look it, that's the way I'm going to believe, did, and now we have exposure that we wouldn't have had. Mm-hmm. You see, that's faith. It doesn't make sense sometimes. And it isn't always just for the short-term effect. It's for the long-term effect. Forsaking all, I trust him. Stephen was full of faith. That's why he was able to do so many things in front of the people. It wasn't him. But he had the faith to believe that God can do it. God did it. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever taken a glass before and kept it straight and put it down into a tank of water or a bucket of water? Do you know what happens? The water pushes up because there's no water going into that glass, so it needs a place to go. And you say, well, how can the water not go in the glass? Because there's air in that glass. And as long as that glass is held upright, it will not fill up with water at all. Try it sometime. It's kind of neat. You know, that's the way we need to recognize the filling of the Spirit in a believer's life. As long as we stay upright and we have our own agenda and we're filled with our own desires and our own dreams, even if we label it that it's godly and that it's Christ-like, but we don't move, we'll never be filled. But when we lay down, when that glass is tipped in the water, the air goes out, the water flows in. And when a person who has a self-agenda says, look it, I'm going to do like what we sang this morning, lay me down, your will, your way. Okay, I'm on the altar of sacrifice. Guess what? Self-agenda, out. Spirit's agenda is in. That's what Stephen understood. Stephen recognized that it wasn't about him. It wasn't about his accomplishments. It wasn't even about his dreams. He understood that he was here for a purpose, and that purpose was to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, to advance his kingdom. And so he put himself in that position of surrender so that the self-agenda would not be blocking the filling or the flowing of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need in our lives. You and I need to understand that. This is godliness. When the Bible says all who live godly will suffer persecution, this is what happens. When you are actually in that godly position, people are going to see that. Some will embrace you. They'll come toward the light, but there will be a few that are going to resist you. And they are going to oppose you and in some ways harass you and trouble you, misrepresent you. They are going to even lie about you. Some of you may know about that already. If you're living godly, that's what's going to happen. But don't worry, because if you're full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, that agenda, that flesh agenda, is gone, and your agenda is completely in him, and you are just like Stephen then in that realm where you can look up and say, ah, all is well, there's my Savior. He was also a proclaimer of the word. You know, you just cannot fail if you are in the Word. The Word is in you and coming out of you. It just brings success. You know what God told Joshua? In Joshua chapter 1, he says, look it, I want you to really be successful. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be discouraged. And I'm telling you, what you need to do is just meditate on the Word. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he says, look it, this word of the law, it's not going to depart out of your mouth. Now, how is that possible? Well, he goes on and says, meditate on the word day and night. You know what meditate actually means? It means to take it in and ingest it, digest it. Let it become a part of you. And as you do that, you will find great victory, because when the word is inside of you, when you come up against the trial, when you come up against that time of persecution, you are going to be able to proclaim the word. Just as we have been singing this morning, we're proclaiming a lot of scripture in those songs. Man, we are verbalizing it, and it's a part of us. If you want to see amazing things in your life, make sure as an individual you are in the Word of God on a regular basis. Do not let anything else keep you from the Word. I praise God for the generation that we live in. You know, I have an iPhone, and I certainly don't know all there is to know about this iPhone. I'm sure I don't. But I do know one thing, that I can have a Bible app on it. I can plug it into my speaker system at home, which I do, and I can push the audio Bible button. And as I'm doing chores in the house now, I've got the Word of God just being spoken to me. And it is amazing how many times I'll be doing something all of a sudden, whoa. Got to play that back. God, thank you. Just the other day, going through that, and the word was being spoken, and I just immediately was convicted. I mean, convicted. And I stopped it. I went over to my place where I go to pray. I got down on my knees, and I said, God, I need this word in my life. I need to apply this word right now to my life. I'm telling you, this is the way we grow in the Lord. And when that word is in our life, when we come up against a situation where people are maybe questioning us, not even in a harsh way, but they're just wanting to know a reason for our faith, man, the Word of God comes out. That's exactly what was happening with Stephen. I'll never forget the man that I led to Jesus Christ several years ago. He only knew the Lord for about a week. And he came to me and he was so excited. He said, you're not going to believe it. I led my friend to Jesus. I prayed with him and I said, man, that's cool. How'd you do it? He said, I didn't even know that I knew the scripture. But he said, it was in me. And he said, I just started sharing stuff with them that you had shared with me and it was there. Man, it can happen to any of us. This is godly living. So many people want a deep walk, and they go after all of the sensational things in life when they just need to go to the Word of God, the simple Word of God, bury themselves in there, and make sure that they have laid their lives down and that they are a living sacrifice so that the Spirit of God can flow into them. Stephen was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, a proclaimer of the Word. Let's consider what he did. Pastor Dan, Seth, Brendan all touched on this already. First of all, he stood with others. You know, this is amazing. When you look at Acts chapter 6, he was one of seven. The church looked at him with these other guys, and they said, these are guys that we know are going to do the job. They are working already in the church. They have a great relationship with other people. This is so cool. Man, they are working with other people. They're standing with other people. If you are in a godly position, you will have no problem working with other believers. It doesn't matter where they are, what their background is, even what their denomination may be. If they are following God and you are following God, you will be able to work with others. If you cannot work with other believers, then there's a problem. And the problem is here. You see, Stephen understood that we were called, all of us called for a greater purpose than what any of us could even imagine, and that is to advance his kingdom, and we work together to do it. One of the things I love about the ministry in Liberia is the way they are working together. All of these pastors from all different walks of life, but they all have one desire, to see their nation won to Christ. A year ago, Jasper Williams, he's the man that we work with there, he emailed me and he said, I'm just so burdened. He says, could you pray with me? He said, I look at my nation. It was war torn. It was ripped to pieces. 250,000 people killed. So many people displaced. Everything that we knew was destroyed. And he said, I want my nation to come back to Jesus Christ. And he said, but I can't do it. I'm only one man. And he says, we can't do it in our church network, even though we're pushing out and we're planting churches. We can't do it alone. And he said, would you pray that men and women who have claimed Jesus Christ all over Liberia would just come together, and that we would just pray over our nation and we'd work together. 6 months later, he sends me another email and he says, Pastor, I just want to thank you so much for praying, because we are having a meeting and there are going to be hundreds of pastors coming from all over Liberia. So many churches represented. And he says, we're going to do one thing. We're going to discuss how we can work together to evangelize our Liberia in the next 10 years. I praise God for that. They're standing with others. See, that's a godly life. But you know what? They're under intense persecution. Because of that, there are different factions out there that are working against them. Even though the majority are praying for them and encouraging them, they know, because they're taking this position, this godly position, there's going to be resistance. And sometimes it's hard resistance. But they're still standing with others. Stephen was that kind of a man. I have to ask myself, am I? Are you? Are we as a church? Man, we need to be, if we're living godly. He also stood alone. Here he is in the midst of this council, and right at that moment, he had a chance to deny Christ. He had a chance to say, wait a minute, hold on, there's been a misunderstanding, and walk away. But he didn't. He stood alone. And he said, guys, I want to give you a little lesson here. And he proclaimed the word. Amen. He proclaimed the word. Here he is, preaching to them. And then he's pointing out, as the prophets did as well, that Jesus Christ is the very one that God said would come. All through the scripture. And he's saying to them, you know the scripture. This is it. And Jesus is the one. He's the one that came. And you rejected him. And so finally he gets to the end of his presentation. And he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Wow. He stood alone. And you know what? That's what we're going to have to do too at times. Boy, isn't it nice to have people around us? There's strength in numbers. Amen. People around us, man, it's great. And if there's any kind of opposition, when you have a lot of people, it's okay. But what about when you're alone? Well, maybe it's because Stephen understood this. He really wasn't alone.
That's right.
Jesus was right there with him. Mm-hmm. Jesus was there to help him. He was a godly person because he was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, a proclaimer of the word. He was standing with others, and he was willing to stand alone. Now let's look at the effect of his testimony. Well, he definitely had an impact on his generation. Obviously, it took him to his death. It affected those people negatively, but was able to reveal the glory of God. They took their coats or cloaks off, whatever they wore in that particular day, so that they could be free to stone him. And they laid those things down at the feet of a young man named Saul. And initially, it really impacted Saul, didn't it? Man, he went out and he created havoc in the church. But then in Acts chapter 9, we read when he was on one of those missions where he had search warrants in his hand, he was going to drag people out of their homes and take them into prison. He had this bright light hit him. And took him right down to the ground. And at that point, this Pharisee who had studied the word, who thought he was doing God's bidding, understood that God's presence was there, but he really didn't know who God was. So he said, who are you, Lord? And then he got the answer. I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And then Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to kick against conviction. Wait a minute. You mean the whole time? Because Saul was so highlighted at Stephen's martyrdom. Here Saul is then going from that point, and he's dragging all of these other Christians who have strong testimony into prison. He is actually being impacted by that testimony. The Spirit of God is using the gospel presentation in these people's lives to the point that he is brought to conviction. So as when he meets Jesus on that road, he accepts Jesus as a Savior, and then he becomes one of the greatest missionaries of all times. What an impact a testimony can have. When it's a godly one. He also had an impact on the people that were there. Evidently, they weren't allowed to press in at all to where they could save him, but they were there. And after they left Stephen dead, what does it say? that devout men came. They had no fear. Man, they just saw Stephen die. They were willing to die too. They came and they picked up his body and they took him to burial and they made great lamentation over him. Stephen's testimony impacted his generation and the people around him. Never underestimate the impact of your testimony. Amen. I'm telling you, fathers, mothers, never doubt what God is doing in and through you in the lives of your children. If you are living godly, the impact of your testimony is speaking louder than you may think. Teenagers, never underestimate the impact that you have in your school and with your peers. Man, you're standing for Jesus, and you might have a few that you're standing with, but at times you're standing alone. Recognize, though, that that testimony for Jesus, even though it may be hard at times, that testimony is making an impact on young people around you. Don't underestimate that. Stephen's testimony is still speaking loud and clear, even to our generation today. That's what the message is. It's powerful. I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up in a music home. Always listening to music. My dad played the organ. And I learned to just love music. Music spoke to me. We didn't have a lot of the musical groups, obviously, that are around today. I didn't have internet and all of that, but we did have the Bill Gaither Trio. And they made a lot of records. Records. And 8-track tapes and cassette tapes. They had all of that. They had one album called The Church Triumphant. On that album was a song called The Church Triumphant. And I listened to that song until it wore out. Seriously. That song spoke to me, and it dealt with living godly, the church living godly, the church going under persecution, but coming out triumphantly. Gloria Gaither had a monologue, and it started out like this. God has always had a people. Many a foolish conqueror has made the mistake of thinking that because he had forced the Church of Jesus Christ out of sight, that he had stilled its life and snuffed out its voice. But God has always had a people. The powerful current of a rushing river is not diminished because it is forced to flow underground. The purest water is the stream that bursts crystal clear into the sunlight after it has forced its way through solid rock. God has always had a people. And as a young man, I looked at that and I thought, man, persecution is really a good thing because it brings out purity. It lets us see God's power, God's promises, God's provision, God's peace. Persecution actually leads us to understand great triumph and victory as an individual and as a church. And so as I conclude today, I praise God for men like Stephen. I praise God for women like Rahab and Ruth and Priscilla and Lydia in the New Testament. Amy Carmichael, Joy Ritterhoff. I'm thankful for men like Elijah and Daniel, Stephen, Paul, John Rogers, William Tyndale, Patrick Henry, Jim Elliot. You see, these men and women understood that God would not fail them. They understood what Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. These warriors of Jesus Christ remind us that all who are following Christ, all who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, will suffer persecution. And their testimony speaks clearly to us today. Greater is he who's in you than he that is in the world. Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Today we must realize that it is our turn to carry the torch. It is our time to fight the good fight, to finish the course, to keep the faith. We are the church triumphant. We may be misrepresented, we may be ridiculed, mocked, and scorned. Some may even be beaten, imprisoned, or martyred. But through it all, as our brothers and sisters did before us, we will march on as the powerful army of the meek, God's chosen people, who cannot be bought, murdered, flattered, or stilled. Even through persecution, we must march, for we know this, because Jesus said it, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. You know what? We are pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. So family of God, I want to encourage you today, even in the midst of any persecution you are going through, to lift up the banner of hope. Because Jesus is alive. Our faith is alive. The church is alive. Young student, you are not alone and forgotten. And even in the midst of harassment, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. Busy mothers, cast all your cares on Jesus. Your labor is not in vain. Faithful fathers, there is rest and strength in the Lord. We can say this to every missionary. Sow the seed with confidence because the church is still alive. Cynical skeptic, you have not killed God with your noisy unbelief. Jesus is alive. The church is alive. And so, family of God, as warriors, even in the midst of persecution, I want to challenge you today to rise up and to be men and women full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, proclaimers of the Word, standing with others, willing to stand alone so that your testimony can impact those right here and now, and it will impact those who will follow you in the future. This is our time. Sons of God, children of God, daughters of God, let's march forward as warriors. Let's stand together for prayer. Father God, we thank you that you have called us to be warriors. You have called us into your army. You are the captain of our salvation, Lord Jesus. You have told us that we need to put on the armor. We need to take the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. You have told us to be filled with your Spirit and to be full of faith. God, you have promised us that your word will not fail. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your word does not change. God, you have promised that we can be living in triumph as the rule, not as the exception. God, I pray for homes right now who are right now experiencing a form of persecution from the outside. God, I ask that you would continue to protect and that you would strengthen. God, I pray for young people who know the pain of standing for you and yet have accepted that with great joy. Continue to give them grace. Lord, I pray right now for our brothers and sisters in other places who are in prison. Some have death sentences. God, we embrace them right now, even in our prayer. God, asking that you will protect them and remind them that their life is in you and that even in death they live. Because you conquered the grave. God, I ask that we would be a people that live godly. Lord, if we aren't being persecuted, if there isn't some form of opposition coming at us, then we need to reevaluate who we are in you. Because you made it clear, you are the one who is over us. We're not greater than you. And if they persecuted you, they will us. So God, just let us be faithful. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the depth of your word. I thank you for the reality of it. And I just pray for every person in this place today, with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to say to you, God loves you. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to take the penalty for your sin. He was buried 3 days later. He did that which he said he would do, which only God could do. He picked up his own life. He rose from the dead. He is even standing today saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Respond to the want to on the inside. Repent of sin and trust Jesus by faith to be your Savior. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to share with you out of the Word. We're asking you, if you don't know Jesus, respond to what the Spirit of God is doing inside of you right now. Come to Christ. Brother and sister, man, let's live to advance the kingdom of God. Let's work together. loving each other, embracing each other, ready to march forward. God, thank you for the day. As we sing this last song, Lord, I pray that you would just remind us that we are yours, we are secure in you, and that we can overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. You've given us this assurance. We bless your name, O Lord.